Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Not in my
generation, maybe not in my children's generation, but there was a saying people would say, oh, there's so much drama, right? So much drama. And yet, everybody says they hate drama. But you know what? Sometimes we kind of like drama. Sometimes we kind of make our own drama. But I want to speak to you today out of the book of Joshua, and I want to tell you, there's some drama. And there's some drama that's just going to, it just gets you going. It got me going. And I hope it gets you going. And I hope the drama gets into your heart. And I hope you see the picture. And I hope you really get what happened. But I want to do a little backstory. So the nation of Israel ends up in Egypt. And after a certain period of time there, they end up captives. They end up slaves. And then we know that God sends Moses to set the captives free, set the slaves free. Let my people go. So Moses goes down to Egypt, and he brings the nation of Israel out, and they hit the Red Sea, and Egypt is following in their chariots, and parts the Red Sea, and the nation goes through the Red Sea, and then the water comes down on top of the Egyptians, and it's really awesome. And then Israel complains and makes their way all the way to Mount Sinai, complaining all the way. You know, speaking of complaining, you know that my husband's very ill. What an incredible human being. I said to him, so he's on tube feeding, so he can't even sip a sip of water. Can you imagine when you're thirsty, how badly you want to have a drink of water? He can't have that. I said to him the other day, it was so hot, and I was enjoying a drink of water, and I said to him, it is so amazing to me that you don't complain. And he looked at me with the strangest look on his face. And he said, well, what good would that do? Wow, what good would that do? Is that not a Spock on Star Trek statement right there? Wow. So they were complaining all the way to Mount Sinai. And then the Lord gave them the Ten Commandments, and Moses sent some spies. One of them was Joshua, 12 of them, but there was Joshua and Caleb, in to spy out the promised land, because they're really close to the promised land. And so they went in there, and then they came back, and two of them came back, Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we got this. We got this. In God's name, we got this. And the rest of them kind of went, yeah, you know, I better get some estimates. Nah, probably not going to happen. So then the people wandered for 40 years in a wilderness. Some of you feel like you've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, round and round in circles. Things aren't going the way that you thought they would go, and you're looking for the answers, and you're looking for the right. So they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. And then God and Moses have a conversation, and it's a tough conversation, but God says, you know, you didn't obey me when I asked you to bring water out of the rock. You know, you struck the rock, and so you're not actually coming into the promised land. Isn't that, wow. Think of the number of times I messed up and struck the rock. So God said, you know, you're going to die, but I'll let you have a peek. So, you know, it looks up, there it is, that's where we're headed, but you're not going, and neither's Aaron. And so God then puts in charge, in leadership of this nation, Joshua, the guy who was a spy 40 years before. So now he's the leader. So this is where we're going to pick it up today. We're going to work hard, and we're just going to, there's drama, but it's drama with a purpose. Some of y'all who don't like, oh, I'm so tired of drama. There's no purpose in your drama. So stop the drama, okay? Just stop it right now. You can stop the drama. Joshua, After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. This is the Moses that they have followed. This is their leader all this time. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. That's powerful, man. You know, PB in prayer meeting the other Sunday, he said, you know, I measured out Rundle, and he said, it goes, in my mind, might not be in your mind, 16th, where I walked my dog, Mr. Joe picked up garbage, 16th to 52nd, 26th to 36th. And so I thought, I used to do this with my dog, but then Mr. Bill went, heaven, God bless heaven. And I said, I'm gonna do it again, because that's how I became the Queen of Rundle, remember? Because I walked around picking up garbage, praying for the community of Rundle. And I said to the Lord, nobody loves this community as much as I do, so therefore I think I should be the self-appointed, uncontested, what? Queen of Rundle. Thank you. Thank you very much. So the other morning I put on my sneakers and I overdressed for the weather. And I began the mighty march. 16th Avenue all the way down 16th to 52nd. I was forcing along. Do you know there's like it's windy and dusty and down 52nd to 26th. Man, is that 26th yet? 10 down 26th and I'm starting to lose it, man. But I want to tell you, I was praying this everywhere I set my foot, Lord, I claim it for you. Every step I take it in your name. And you know what the incredible thing is? As I'm walking by houses, the Lord is speaking to my heart. And I look like a crazy person. I know that's really hard for you guys to believe. Hey, hurts me when you laugh like that. Okay, I am marching along, overdressed. I am sweating. This bun is like flopped out. There's hair sticking out here. And I'm marching. And in the name of Jesus, I'm coming against domestic violence. I'm coming against addiction. I'm coming against broken family. You should have seen me. I was nuts. It nearly killed me. I didn't quite make it. I cheated, and I didn't quite make it to 36. It would have taken me another, it would have been a good hour and a half. Anyways, man, I'm claiming it. I'm claiming it. I expect to see results from that. I think that there'll be less family violence. I came against addiction in every home. There were some houses that were very specific. As I'd walk by it, the God said, pray against addiction. Praying against addiction in that house. Jesus, I command you. I've claimed this sidewalk for you. And what a day. Wherever I set my foot, I could be a land you've given me, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. Oh, hear this. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. Do you know how many times I had to say what? Man, just put that word, take that word right now. Take that word right off the page, and you put that in your heart. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. You write that at the top of your prayer journal, and you say, God, you will not fail me. You will not abandon me. You are going to be with me. Be strong and courageous. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors. These people followed Moses, and now God is saying, you're the one. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left, and then you will be successful in everything that you do. Who would like to be successful in everything that you do? I would. Man, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be as close. I'm going to step on your heels, Jesus. I'm going to be so close. I want to be so close to you that I can obey you every minute of every day. want to take one step this way or one step that way. I want to be right behind you. He says, then you will be successful in everything that you do. Study this book of instruction. What? Continually. Continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything that is written in it. Follow this word. Follow this book. Follow our Jesus. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Three times. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. I want you to put these words in your heart. In many of our lives, many of you seated here right now, you need right now to be strong. You need strength and you need to have courage for the things that you are facing in your life. We need strength and we need courage. Some of you are facing impossible things, things that are beyond you to cope with, things that there's no way that you can accomplish in yourself. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Man, I come against fear in Jesus' name. I'm going to be strong in you, Jesus. I'm not going to be afraid, and I'm not going to be discouraged. And when I feel discouragement, I'm going to come against in Jesus' name. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's with you. Are you always going to feel him? No. I'm telling you right now, he's with you. He is with you. Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. That was a promise that was made to Abraham 470 years before. These people are sitting on the precipice of this promise. Now, if you're coming out of the wilderness, do you know what happened? You can see the promised land. You know that there's an end to that. You know that there's an end to your wilderness. And do you know the anticipation that's in your heart? Can you imagine as they went around the camp saying to these people, it's coming to an end in 3 days. Get ready in 3 days. We're moving. We're going into the promised land. Think of the anticipation. What a mix of feelings. Really, is this going to happen? Is this really going to happen? Are we really going to see the promised land that Abraham had promised, that God promised Abraham so long ago? And take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. There is a season when your wilderness will end, and there is a season when you will take possession of the promised land. And it's coming. It's coming. And then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And let me just tell you, previously they had had an agreement with Moses. They said, you know what, when you cross, we don't want to cross. We want to stay on the east side. We want to stay here. This is where we want to raise our families. And Moses said to them, that is okay. You can do that, but you're going to have to come and fight with us first. Fight with us first. Then you can go back and live over there. So remember when Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, the Lord your God is giving you a place of rest. He has given you this land. Your wives, children, and livestock may remain here in the land Moses assigned to you on the east side of the Jordan River, but your strong warriors, fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer their territory. Stay with them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has given you rest, and until they too possess the land the Lord your God is giving them. Only then may you return and settle here on the east side of the Jordan in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, has assigned to you. They've got a plan. Those three tribes are going to come fight. After the fight is over, they're going to come back. They answered Joshua, we will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses, which kind of makes me laugh. Because, you know, there was, come on, there was times, people. And may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your words and everything you command will be put to death. So then they say, so be strong and courageous. Are you getting the idea that this whole thing is going to require strength and courage? And the wilderness that we are in, as we come in, even into the promised land, it takes tremendous strength and courage. to face some of the things that are brought to us. Those are our words. Those are words to you today. Be strong. Be courageous. Then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp at Acacia Grove. He instructed them, scout out the land on, this is what he did, scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. So the two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. How smart were they? Whose house in the town would have a lot of traffic going in and out of it, male traffic going in and out of it? All Lord's people said, Rahab's house, right? Rahab's house is going to have a lot of male traffic going in and out. So they just slip in with the male traffic going in and out of the prostitute's house, and they hide amongst them. That is very clever. But someone told the king of Jericho, some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out our land. So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, bring out the men who have come into your house, for they have come here to spy out the whole land. Rahab, the Canaanite prostitute. Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, yes, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. They left the town at dusk because the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch up with them. Actually, she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath bundles of flax she had laid out. Everybody says, yay, Rahab. Yay, Rahab. And we just want a reminder here that if you look in the genealogy in Matthew, whose name is in the genealogy of Christ? Rahab, the prostitute. So if you think God can't use you, I have news for you this morning, folks. The Lord can use Rahab. He can also use me and you. Right? So the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossings of the Jordan, and as soon as the king's men had left, the gates of Jericho was shut. And I look at the courage of Rahab. I look at the courage and the strength of Rahab. And for the first time in my life, I say I want to be like Rahab. Sort of. Before the spies... Just kidding. Sorry, Gilly, love you. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up to the roof to talk to them. And she says, listen to the words of this prostitute. I know the Lord has given you this land. We're all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea. We know about you guys when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed because they would not let the Israelite nation pass through their country. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God. She gets it. The Lord your God is the supreme God. He's it. The supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Rahab totally gets it. Can you imagine being the only woman in the town that is prepared to take and hide these guys? What courage, what strength. One woman in one city. What if you were called to be the one man or the one woman or the one young adult that is called to stand up and speak for the Lord? How much courage. I really like a crowd. You know, if I'm gonna speak up, I'm going to take some friends with me. Speak up with me. Right? Alone, by yourself, one voice in the city. God, give us strength, courage. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I've helped you. She knew for sure about the supreme God. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, she already sees Jericho. She's not wondering. I'm telling you right now, church, she's not wondering. Gee, I wonder if Jericho is going to get conquered. She said, so when Jericho gets conquered, how's that for faith? So when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and mother and my brothers and sisters and all their family. She's bargaining. I helped you, you help me. We offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety, these two spies say. The men agreed. If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise and be kind to you when the Lord gives us the land. Then, since Rahab's house was built into the town wall, She let them down by a rope through the window. Escape to the hill country, she told them. Hide there for 3 days from the men searching for you. Then, when they have returned, you can go your own way. Before they left, the men told her, "We will be bound by oath we have taken only if you follow these instructions." Here it is. "When we come into the land, you must leave a scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you let us down. And all your family members, your father, mother, brothers, and all your relatives must be inside the house. If they go out into the street and are killed, it will not be our fault. It's on you. You keep them in the house. Scarlet rope hanging down. You keep them in the house. We're going to save you. But if anyone lays a hand on people inside this house, we will accept the responsibility for their death. If you betray us, however, we are not bound by this oath in any way. I accept your terms," bargain is set. Two spies and a prostitute. "Wow. I accept your terms," she replied, and she sent them on their way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging from the window. What a vision. What a vision that is. That's going to be her saving rope. And it's scarlet like the blood of Christ. The spies went up into the hill country and stayed there 3 days, and the men who were chasing them searched everywhere along the road, but they finally returned without success. And then the two spies came down from the hill country, crossed the Jordan River, and reported to Joshua all that had happened to them. "The Lord has given us the whole land," they said, based on the words of Rahab. She knows that Jericho is terrified of them. "For all the people in the land are terrified of us." They claim the land. They already know the end of the story. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River. Come on, this is getting so exciting. It's happening. Where they camp before the crossing. Imagine the anticipation in their hearts. What's going to happen? What lies ahead? We know what lies behind. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp giving these instructions to the people. "When you see the Levitical priests," okay, this is what's going to happen. "You're going to see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. The priests are going to pick up the presence of God. And inside there is the tablets with the Ten Commandments, is Aaron's rod which budded, and is a jar with manna which fed them in the wilderness for 40 years. When you're carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark, and make sure that you don't come any closer. God's going first, and you're coming in behind him. Here's some good advice. Don't go ahead of God. Stay behind. Any ever run ahead of God? How's that working for you? Okay, stay behind. And then Joshua told the people, "Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord, tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you." Just wait. I bet it's like Christmas Eve. Who sleeps? Not me. Not me. Man, the anticipation. I'm so excited. So I'm thinking, man, we're going into the promised land. We're going to cry. This is so exciting. In the morning, Joshua said to the priest, can you imagine being the priest? And there's the Ark of the Covenant in front of you. And Joshua comes and he says, pick it up. My knees go weak thinking about it. Pick it up. What a word. Lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. And I just get these crazy thoughts when I'm studying the word. I'm thinking, I wonder if these guys worked out. I know. I'm sure it crossed your mind too. How strong would you have to be? Pick up the Ark of the Covenant, huh? And you're going to carry it. Just wait. You're going to get crazy how long they're holding it. And did they work out? Did they practice? Was there a regime? They're lifting up the Ark of the Covenant, and they're going to step. Oh. So he says, today I will begin to make you a great... Started out, went ahead of the people. Then the Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. Today's your day, Josh. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. Ever stepped into a moving river carrying something? Ever stepped into a moving river carrying the Ark of the Covenant? Oh God, please do not let me drop this. Please, God, I pray that all of my... So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. You're going to get this today. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites ahead of you. He's going to drive them out. He is going to drive out all the nations ahead of you. Look at the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth. He is the Lord of the whole earth. Will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, the supreme God. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream and the river will stand up like a wall. It's reminiscent of the Red Sea. When they take that ark and they step into that water, the water is going to stop flowing. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Is this drama? This is the day of their deliverance. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. It's overflowing. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up. Can you imagine seeing this? Up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is about 18 miles, which is 29 kilometers away. All that water backing up all the way. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. They weren't stepping into mud. They weren't stepping into quagmire or moist earth. They were stepping onto dry land. Dry land. And then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. So if you picture... The Levitical priests, they have the Ark of the Covenant. They step, the water stops. They step into the middle. The water starts to back up. And they are standing there while the nation of Israel crosses in front of them. I'm telling you, this is 2 to 3 million people. That's a lot of people. That's why I'm wondering if they worked out. That's a long time to stand there holding the Ark of the Covenant. And I'd be, hurry up. Hurry up. And you know, the slow kids walk. And they're picking up rocks. And they're chasing butterflies. And they're squatting down. You're, hurry up. And then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. That's some drama for you. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground to be in that crowd that day, walking across that river to freedom. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now, choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them to take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. So go into the middle of the Jordan. There's going to be some rocks. I want you to pick up 12 rocks from there, carry them out, and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan, in front of the ark, of the Lord your God. each of you must pick up one stone and carry it on your shoulder. 12, see, you guys working out? See how important it is to go to the gym? 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And we will use these stones to be a memorial in the future for your children. They're going to ask you, what are these stones here for? What do these stones mean? I tell you, we need to build some memorials for PB, we need some rocks. We need some rocks on the front lawn of this church. And we need to say, you see what God did right here? You see what God did right here? He brought people together. He brought two churches together. He made us one. You see what God has done? Can we have some rocks in the front? I don't know. Let's have a vote. Just kidding. Oops. Might have had overstepped there. Your family needs to build some memorial. You need to have some memorials in your house, around your yard, so that when your kids say, remember what God did here? Remember what God did here? Better be listening. Remember what God did? Okay. What do these stones mean? Sorry, Jack. And then you can tell them. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Don't forget. God has done stuff in your life that you have forgotten, that you might need to recall right now. He's been with you since you took your first breath. And sometimes we remember to write it down in our journal, and sometimes we don't. There are things that he has done that we must never forget. And when we're in the wilderness, we need to call that up. But I remember when. I remember when he did this. I'm going to remember. So the men did as Joshua had commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each of the tribes, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They're in obedience. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night and constructed the memorial there. And while they're placing their stones, they're thinking, what a great thing our God has done. Joshua also set up another pile of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan. Joshua goes back into the middle of the Jordan at the place where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day, to this day. The priests who were carrying the Ark, see what I'm talking about, these priests? You kind of picture priests as kind of maybe old and shriveled up people. I'm thinking maybe they were big, burly guys. The priests who were carrying the ark stood in the middle of the river until all the Lord's commands that Moses had given to Joshua were carried out. So Joshua's going and he's collecting stones, and they're still standing there holding that ark up. Meanwhile, the people hurried across the riverbed. I like that part where it says hurried. Hurried, as fast as people can hurry. And when everyone was safely on the other side, the priests crossed over with the ark of the Lord as the people watched. They watched those priests coming out of that riverbed with the ark of the covenant. And the armed warriors from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, and led the Israelites across the Jordan, just as Moses had directed. These armed men, just the armed men, about 40,000 strong, were ready for battle. And the Lord was with them as they crossed over to the plains of Jericho. And it's coming. It's coming. That day, the Lord made Joshua a great leader in the eyes of the Israelites. And for the rest of his life, they revered him as much as they had revered Moses. When I finish the book of Joshua, I think if I ever had another baby, I'm going to name him Joshua. I think Joshua is highly underestimated. My chances of having another baby are slim and none, just to assure y'all. But if I do, or if you do. Okay, just a minute. So if you have one, name him Joshua. That's a good name. And you read the book of Joshua and just, wow, Joshua, what a guy. All his life they revered him as much as they had revered Moses. The Lord had said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to come out of the riverbed. So Joshua gave the command. As soon as the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came up out of the riverbed and their feet were on high ground, the water of the Jordan returned and overflowed its banks as before. God, you are the supreme God. The people crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, which is really close to right now, spring. Right now, it could be to this day. Let's pretend it is. Then they camped at Gilgal, just east of Jericho. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. And then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea, when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. He did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, that the nation of Canada would know that the Lord is powerful. And so you might fear the Lord your God forever. And I just want to speak to you for a couple minutes about being strong and courageous. And I pray that for you. In October 2021, when my husband was diagnosed, the Lord spoke to me and he said, be strong and courageous. Some of the battles that you come up against in life, you got to be strong. And you got to be courageous. And you know what? At that time, I had no strength and I had no courage in me. So where does my strength and courage come from? It comes from the Lord. Where does yours come for the battles that you're going to be fighting? It comes from God. These people didn't manufacture their own strength. Rahab didn't have her own strength. She believed in the supreme God. And her strength to do what she did came from him. Your strength to do what you have to do in your life is going to come from him. And it can be big. And you know, I get calls sometimes and one of you is sick. And I need to go to the hospital and I need to see you. Or maybe, God forbid, one of you have passed. And you know what I have to do before I leave my house? I have to pray. I have to pray that I can be strong and courageous. Because it hurts. It hurts when one of you is sick or one of you passes. I have to be strong. When Gilly got his diagnosis, I found this stone and it says on it, courage. And I put it in a little dish right by my sink in the bathroom. And every morning when I'm brushing my teeth, it says, courage. Courage. Where does the courage come from? From those priests that picked up the Ark of the Covenant. And they stepped into that water and they believed their God. And the second that they believed their God was going to hold that water, they got courage. When you know, when you understand that God is going to hold the water back, when you step out in faith, when you believe what he's saying, and you say, I know that God is going to give me strength and courage to go through anything this world can bring me, anything. You need strength. We need courage. Sometimes the journey wasn't over for them. They came out of the wilderness and they stepped into the promised land. But I'll tell you, it was a tough journey after that. Sometimes we're going to have to take some risks. Rahab the prostitute, what did she have to do? She had to take some risks, right? She took some risks because she believed in the supreme God. And you know, we just are going to carry the presence of God with us. You each who have invited Jesus Christ into your life, carry the supreme presence inside of you. And it's that supreme presence that's going to give you courage. as you rely on his strength to get you through anything. All the Lord's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.